Tim wanted nothing to do with either of Kells's mules, for they were ill-tempered. The two his father had raised from Guffins were just the opposite. Misty and Bitsy were mollies, unsterilized females, theoretically capable of bearing offspring, but Ross had kept them so for sweetness of temper rather than for breeding. "Perish the thought," he had told Tim, when Tim was old enough to ask about such things. Animals like Misty and Bitsy weren't meant to breed, and almost never give birth to true-threaded offspring when they do. Tim chose Bitsy, who had ever been his favorite, leading her down the lane by her bridle, and then mounting her bareback. His feet, which had ended halfway down the mule's sides when his Da had first lifted him onto her back, now came almost to the ground. At first, Bitsy plodded with her ears lopped dispiritedly down, but when the thunder faded and the rain slackened to a drizzle, she perked up. She wasn't used to being out at night, but she and Misty had been cooped up all too much since Big Ross had died, and she seemed eager enough to... Maybe he's not dead. This thought burst into Tim's mind like a skyrocket, and for a moment dazzled him with hope. Maybe Big Ross was still alive and wandering somewhere in the endless forest. Yar, and maybe the moon's made of green cheese like Mama used to tell me when I was wee. Dead. His heart knew it, just as he was sure his heart would have known if Big Ross were still alive. Mama's heart would have known, too. She would have known and never married that bastard. Bitsy's ears pricked. They had passed the Widow Smack's house now, which was at the end of the high street, and the woodland scents were stronger, the light and spicy aroma of bossywood, and, overlaying that, the stronger, graver smell of ironwood. For a boy to go up the trail alone, with not so much as an axe to defend himself with, was madness. Tim knew it, and went on just the same. That hitting bastard! This time he spoke in a voice so low, it was almost a growl.